Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is the first three verses of the Gospel according to St. Mark. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, dear friends. First, straightforward, direct. That's the Gospel of Mark. Mark in our text gives the title to his Gospel. The title too is so very brief. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And after Mark has given the title of his Gospel, he proceeds with quick action. He moves very quickly, very fast, into what takes place. He passes over all details about the birth and the childhood of Jesus Christ, and proceeds directly to the public ministry of the Savior. Mark does not speak about the childhood, the birth of Jesus, nonetheless, the opening words of his Gospel are appropriate words for us as we stand at the threshold of another nativity observance. They're not just words that will allow us to make a good beginning of our celebration of the birth of our Savior. Good beginnings are often important, and Mark will lead us in the way as he tells us of the message of John the Baptist, the message which John delivered before Jesus assumed his public ministry. A good beginning. That's what these opening words of Mark provide us with. If we give thought and heed to what he has to say. A few quick points this morning, two in fact, with respect to a good beginning, as we are ready to celebrate the Holy Days. First of all, consider the prophecies of the Lord about the Savior. And secondly, give heed to the message of preparation. In the Advent season, in the congregation of my youth, it was part of the regular schedule of the church to have midweek services. There were two pastors in this particular congregation, both of them capable men, powerful men, who served the congregation for more than 30 years each. Both of the men were dynamic men, men who left a deep impression upon me. And when I think about what they said in Advent, I am reminded of how much of an impression they did make upon me. For these men had favorite texts for the Advent season. They were the prophecies from the Old Testament of the coming of the Savior. In the congregation of my youth, we were compelled every year in Advent, it seemed, to take the place of the people of Israel and the ancient days. And we were compelled to look forward in spirit with longing eyes to the coming of the Lord Christ. Reflection upon these prophecies of the coming of Christ were an important part of our Advent observance. The two pastors made sure of that because of the text that they selected for the midweek services. It's no wonder then that one of my favorite Advent Christmas hymns has this text: "What the Father is most desired, what the prophet Christ inspired, what they longed for many a year, stands fulfilled in glory here." Direct as John is, as Mark is in his Gospel, he too takes time at the beginning of the Gospel to speak about Old Testament prophecy. So he says, "As it is written in Isaiah the prophet." Mark really presents two prophecies for us. One from Malachi and one from Isaiah. But both prophecies deal with John the Baptist. And when Mark takes the time at the beginning of his Gospel to draw upon these Old Testament prophecies, it's as if he were saying to us, when contemplating the Gospel of Jesus Christ, don't overlook what the Lord said about Jesus Christ in the centuries before Christ himself came. It is comfortable to look at these Old Testament prophecies So when we meditate upon the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Savior, then we are assured that nothing was able to stand in the way, nor will stand in the way, of the Lord's determination to redeem and to save his people. The Lord had said centuries earlier that he would raise up a prophet like unto Moses, and the prophet was raised up. A star was to come out of Jacob, and a scepter was to rise out of Israel, and the ruler did come at Bethlehem, and the gathering of the people had been unto him. It was a pagan emperor who gave the decree, but in the course of time, the chosen virgin gathered to Bethlehem, that there the prophecy given by Micah might be fulfilled in the city of David, and that there the laws of nature might become obedient to God's inspired word through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. When we look at the Old Testament prophecy, we are convinced of the love of the Creator and the Redeemer God. When we look at the Old Testament prophecy, we know that nothing will hinder that Lord from saving the world of sin and from saving the sinners. For the Lord loves the world, and his love has been poured out to cover the sinners and to bring for them a salvation. The Lord's will shall indeed be done. Consider the Old Testament prophecy. That's a good beginning, a very good beginning, when we are about ready to celebrate the anniversary of the birth of our Lord. In the course of time, the prophecy was fulfilled too, with John the Baptist. For he came, and he spoke, in preparation for the Savior, as the Savior was ready to begin his public ministry. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way. Voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Give heed to the message of preparation. It's a good beginning too, as we undertake again our nativity of Jordan. Make straight the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was in the wilderness in the region of the Jordan River, and there in the wilderness, he also addressed a message which calls for reconstruction in the wilderness of the human heart. The people of the day of Isaiah, and the people of the day of Malachi, and the people in the time of John the Baptist, and we and all the people of our age are plagued by a common problem, sin. And therefore, repentance is a call that is in order to us. Repent, the John's message. And be afraid about it here in the beginning of the Gospel of St. John, too. Repent. Sin must be acknowledged. Remorse is in place for our guilt and sin and iniquity. And there should be a confident turn to him who alone, for Christ's sake, will forgive our sins, and who will empower us with his Holy Spirit to amend our sinful lives. Repent. That is the message of preparation. And if we repent, then indeed we are giving heed to the message. And so we pray the Lord that he would fill our hearts to repentance, that we might be prepared properly, that we might make the proper kind of beginning for our celebration. Repentance. You know, that's something that should take place every day, isn't it? For when the Lord calls us to repentance, he is calling us to a daily faith activity with you to the message of preparation. We will be there soon, within a week, on the plains of Bethlehem with the shepherd, at the manger with the shepherd, and the plains too with the angels of the Lord. We are prepared if you have given heed to the message of preparation. And that message is given in our text. That message has been put together so very nicely, a very well-known Advent hymn. It goes as follows: "Making straight what long is crooked, make the restful places plain, Let your heart be true and humble as befits his holy way. For the glory of the Lord, now our earth is our sword, and all flesh shall see the token, and his word is never broken. Amen.